Well, thank you, everyone, for doing such a great job, especially our kids. Let's give them a hand. And thank you, Christine, for doing all the hard work of putting all us amateurs. She did a lot of work. You know, it's one thing to do this in front of family and friends, and, you know, we don't have to worry about Rotten Tomato reviews, right? You know, but it's still a little intimidating to be in front of people and say these things and share some words. And, you know, when you go over the account, I mean, how many times do we hear, do not be afraid, right? Do not be afraid.
100 times.
Yeah, 100 times or so, right? I mean, you think about Zechariah, right? Zechariah met by the angel Gabriel while he's burning incense, symbolizing prayer. And when Gabriel appears to him and says, your prayer has been answered, he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You shall call his name John, and you'll have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord and must not drink wine or strong drink, and he'll be filled with the Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. So Zechariah doubted the angel's words, and I think one of the reasons was he was afraid to hope. He was afraid to hope again. I mean, all his life he's been prayed for a child, and they had never had that answer to prayer. And now when God shows up and tells him directly that you're finally going to have a son, I think he's afraid to believe what he's wanted all his life, because now he's used to his life, and now he's going to have to change. And there's going to be change, and he's going to have to wonder what this is going to be all about. But over time, as he sees Elizabeth's belly expand, the joy that he knows is coming from having this child is expressed in a song that he's going to sing later on in that chapter. And then, of course, Gabriel appears to Mary and tells her not to be afraid because God has found favor with her. And you think, that's a kind of a weird thing to say, isn't it? Unless God's people sometimes don't think God favors us, that maybe we think God is sometimes kind of wrongly, we think this. He's mean, he's out to hurt us, and obviously that's not true. But Mary accepts what God says. That's not where she goes. She believes what God's going to do for her and through her, knowing that's still going to cause problems, even what God is going to do will still result in some difficulties. So there is fear, but there's fear with belief, because we know that not everyone is willing to fully put their trust in God. And then there's Joseph. He's told by Gabriel, you know, don't be afraid to do what? Don't be afraid to marry Mary, because, you know, why was he afraid? Okay, think about that. Why was he afraid to marry the one that he was committed to marry? Well, he wrongly believed that she had been unfaithful to him. And, of course, he's also afraid, my life is over, all my plans, they've been ruined, and now what am I going to do? But he does trust God. He trusted God's words through Gabriel to marry her. Doesn't mean there are no fears anymore. He's still got fears, because now there's going to be new fears. He's going to worry about what people are going to think and all those things, right? And, of course, the angels appear to the shepherds, and we're told that they were terrified. You know, the funny thing is, this is God who's speaking, and you don't expect anything bad from God, only good from God, but every time God shows up, people are afraid. Why are they afraid? Even though the angels say, I have good news of great joy for all the people that their Messiah had finally been born. But then the shepherds, right, they obey God, and what is their response? Let's go over to Bethlehem, see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. And Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. You notice there's a pattern going on here. There's a pattern that's developing. Faith to believe and obey God's word overcomes fear and brings joy. And that's the pattern you see in the whole Christmas story. But there's one other person who's afraid. Who's that? Herod, right? Herod hears the words of truth, and he's afraid because he's a phony king. He's not the right king. And he's afraid that his life is going to be exposed, that all the things that he enjoys in life is going to come to an end because of the true king that should be sitting on that throne, or will one day. So when he finds out the truth, what does he want to do? He wants to squelch the truth, and he wants to hurt people out of fear. So there's different ways you respond to God's truth. We respond to a healthy fear where we trust God, even though we don't know all the plans. But then there's also people who hear the truth of God and say, I don't want this because it's going to change my life. Matter of fact, I'm upset about this, and they end up actually hurting people. This is the world we live in too, isn't it? This is what we see in our own world. Many people are afraid. They give their life over to God. Oh, you know, it's going to be boring. It's going to be glum. And they're afraid of all kinds of things. They're afraid of, well, what have we got? Financial stress, relational confusion, government overreach, all kinds of things that we can be afraid of in our world that many people are. They're afraid of what the future holds, obviously. But they've never heard the good news of great joy that God has in store for them in Jesus Christ, and they need to give their life to him. So what does the world need? We've been talking about this for last month. Something else the world needs, obviously, is good news of great joy, and that is found only in Jesus Christ. I mean, as believers, we're not afraid of the future. We know what the future holds for us. We know God's control of the world even now, even though sometimes we wonder, but he is. We need to allow the truth of his word to constantly bring us hope and joy, and to know that God always has a plan, that he's working things out. So yeah, tell other people. There's good news of great joy found in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it leads to an exciting life, and a life that maybe still has fears, but we can always go to the one who holds all the peace and the joy in our lives. Psalm 16, David says, you have made known to me the joy of life, the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for the opportunity today to present the gospel through the scriptures as we humbly acted these things out, had some fun doing it. But Lord, it is good news of great joy, and that so many people do not have this good news. They're trying to control their lives. They think they've got the answer to all of life's issues, but they don't. And Lord, they need Jesus. And so help us to show Jesus in our life, and help us, Lord, not to be afraid. Not to be afraid of what this world is doing or what this world may become before your son returns. But help us to trust you, and even in our fears, knowing that you are with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. And that there is peace and joy that's found only in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you that you are in control of our lives in this world. And we look forward to that time when we will spend all eternity with you and your son, Jesus, and all those who love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's sing one more song. What did I say? How many verses?